And that's goodbye from me and goodbye from him.
Have the children gone? Yeah, they're gone. Can you give the two Ronnies a hand? I think one of these days we'll send them to Siberia and we'll keep them there. Hallelujah. You have a look at Psalm 68. Hallelujah. Is there a song we can sing? What? Can I have a musician? Can I have a keyboardist? We'll just sing the chorus twice. How great thou art. Is it all right? Amen. All right. That'll help me to preach. Okay? If you stand to your feet, we'll sing it. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. Hallelujah.
Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art! Then sings my soul.
Your seats. Psalm 68, I'll just read verse 5 and 6. A father to the fatherless, we shared on that. A defender of widows, we shared on that. Is God in his holy habitation? God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. We want to share this morning on prison to prosperity. God brings those out that are bound. The prisoner can come out of prison into prosperity, into the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Prison can be real or imagined. It can be physical or mental, but regardless of what form it is, God is able to bring one out of that prison into prosperity. That's just the way God is. And God just doesn't bring you out. God brings you out to take you in. when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they didn't just come out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt into the wilderness, from the wilderness into the promised land. That's the way God does with us. The Bible says we are translated out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So when you're bound and you reach out to God, God will bring you out, not to just leave you in a lurch, but bring you out to take you in. God said to Jeremiah, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that you don't know." Hallelujah. That's the way God is. Now, some people are in bars that are steel. Some people are in bars that are of their own making. And many times we can be in prison because of our own presumption, our own ideas. We are limited and bound by what we think. I suppose that's why Paul said, present your bodies to God and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A man named Hiru, that's as good as my Japanese pronunciation is. That's his name, Hiru Onoda. Was in the jungle of the Philippines for some 29 years. He was put there by the Japanese and they said, you're not to suffer death at your own hand. Don't give in to anything. We're going to come back and get you. The war was finished. And 27 years later, he was still in the jungle, still fighting a war because he did not know that the war was finished. In 1972, they discovered him, but he said, "I'm not coming out," because he didn't believe that the war was finished. 1974, they sent his commander that gave him the instructions in the first place to come into the Philippine jungle and tell that Japanese man, "The war is finished. We lost the war." President Marcos of the Philippines pardoned him because he needed it. But the thing was, he was fighting a war when the war was finished. He was bound because he did not know that the thing is finished. The war is fought and lost and won. And he's still in there. And when he was given a pardon, he went back to Japan. He could not believe that the Japanese lost the war. What am I saying? Many times we can be bound by our own ideas. We can be bound by the fact that we have a presumption about certain things. Are you all right? We were at a conference one time and a lady got up in the morning, and I shared that story with you before, but I'll share it again because it'll help you. And she was the wife of the keynote speaker of the conference, and she shared about a dog. And the man was walking his dog, and a lady was crossing a bridge from one side of the river to the other, and somehow she stumbled and her bag fell off and flew over the rail of the bridge and fell into the river. And the man said, "Fetch!" That dog ran. He ran on the water, grabbed the bag, ran back, and gave the bag to the man. So the man gave the bag to the lady. And the man said to the lady, "What do you think of my dog?" You know what she said? She said, "Your dog can't swim." She totally missed the fact that the dog ran on the water. And the evening, after the meeting in the evening, a friend said, "Come and have supper with us." So I said to my wife, "We got asked for supper." She said, "You go. I'm tired." So I went, I drove to their hotel unit, and they had a nice, they had two bedrooms and a beautiful unit. So I walked in, and this guy walked out from one of the bedrooms. He was a guest at the conference. They invited him to come to the conference. And when he came out, this man said, "This is Pastor Eliyahu Yesera." He didn't even shake my hand. He just looked at me and said, "Oh, you're the rebel." Now, why was that man saying that? Because he heard some stories about me. So she formed an opinion of me that I was a rebel. And I said to him, "Ah, you're the rebel, aren't you?" I said, "Well, it depends on whether the dog runs on the water or swims." Some people are bound by their own ideas and perceived ideas. And sometimes you can be bound because somebody says something to you. You have an idea of something that has not even exist. And many people refuse God because they have an idea about God. And they said, "Well, I don't, that the world is going to hell on roller skates. You tell me you believe in God. If God's so great, then how come the world?" The world's in a mess because men are messing the thing up. God is trying to fix it. We blame God for our stupidity. It's like somebody banging his own head on the wall and then blame the pastor. It's almost as bad as Osh. I just thought I'd throw that. And there are people who will never accept God because they have a preconceived idea about God. There are people who will never accept God because their own experience with whoever it is, with the church or with a father figure or with a mother or with somebody in authority, they transfer that bad experience to God, and they're going to hell on roller skates because of a preconceived, they are bound, they're in the prison of their own making. Are you all right? There's a lovely song. Tim used to sing the song. Some of you don't know who Tim is. But it's called, "It Is Finished." It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There will be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. Jesus is Lord. And the guy that wrote the song goes something like this. I was in the war, in the prison, in the battle of my own making. I did not know that the war was won. You don't have to carry your burden. The war has been won. You don't have to carry your sin one iota longer. Why? The war has been won. You can give your burden to Jesus. You can give your sin to Jesus. Because it's cleansed by His blood, and His burden is light. His yoke is easy. Hallelujah. But God takes the prisoners out of prison into prosperity. Talk to Joseph. Joseph was in prison for close to 20 years, something about 13 years altogether. And out of prison, to a shower and a shave, to the palace, to be the prime minister of the nation. God takes the bound out of prison and put them into prosperity, and out of prison into rulership. Talk to Merlin Carruthers, who wrote the book From Prison to Praise. When he was imprisoned by the military because he did something wrong, he took a car and just ran away. They imprisoned him in the military. Guess what he did after that? He became a chaplain to the same military. From prison to praise, from bondage to prosperity. And if you will allow God, give God one chance. It doesn't matter what burdens you carry, God is able to break the yoke and bring you out of bondage into his marvelous light. Say amen. Now, here is Joseph, went from the pit to the prison to the palace. But long after he was released from prison, he was about 8-9 years being the prime minister. He's gone through a 7 years of plenty now into 7 years of famine. And his brothers came to get some food. Joseph has been to prison and released into prosperity, but his father was still in prison. His father mourned the death of his son for 20 odd years because he thought the boy was dead, and he was bound in his grief when he didn't have to. Some of you have believed a lie and you're bound in something that you don't have to be bound in because you believed a lie. The boys lied to their dad. Their dad believed the lie, and he was in prison in grief for 20 years. You don't have to carry the grief. You don't have to believe the lies. But some of us are bound in that for however long. Hello? When the person and the reason why we are bound is still all right. That man that said to me, "You're the rebel." He had an idea and bound with an idea because he heard something about. He became one of my greatest friends. He discovered that that's not who I was. But sometimes you can be bound by things, by situations, by presumption, by ideas that others put into your head. I've talked with so many people, "I don't like God. I like you, but I don't like God." I said, "The only reason I'm like me is because, the only reason you like me is because I know God. If I did not know God and you knew me before I knew God, you wouldn't like me because I'll bust your head." And people, and it's amazing how many experts in God have never read God's book. They tell you, "Oh." They think that God is a monster. God is love. Hallelujah. I read a thing in the Herald. My wife tells everybody, my wife has two Bibles. On Sunday, he reads his Bible and he reads the newspapers. All my kids, when they come to visit me, they buy me the Sunday paper. I just like to know what's going down. But I read the Herald, and one of New Zealand's famous authors, I'll not tell you his name, starts with A. His last name starts with D. So it's AD, all right? You got it? You got it? Yeah? You got it, yeah, all right? I think it's part Maori. You got it? Yes. All right. And he was responding to what Bishop Tamaki was saying about the earthquake. Now, I'll not talk to you about that, okay? I'm just talking about the newspaper. And then he said, "Tell me it's God." You know, he's talking about reacting to the fact that, you know. And he said, "There is no God. All the recent scientific researchers tell us that there's no God." Scientific research, researching God. How stupid can you be and still breathe? It's like this pulpit and this table trying to research the guy that preaches behind it. What kind of conclusion is the pulpit and the table going to come to about the Samoan guy that stands behind it every Sunday? What conclusion do you think? Can the pot say to the potter? So all these pots are researching the potter. So he said, "There's no God." And then he said, "We are just a bunch of molecules. We are just a molecular structure, and when we die, all the atoms and molecules go back to where they came from. My Lord, how dumb can you be? And people read it, and you put your stuff in the article in the newspaper, and the newspaper put it in there for you to read. If all you are is atoms and molecules, why do you love your wife? Do atoms love their wives? Why do you love your children? Why are there morals in society? Why are we angry at wrong? Do atoms get angry at wrong? Have you ever seen... Hello? And if there is a morality in society, and if there is a moral absolute, who is responsible for it? Not you, and definitely not me, definitely not us. Why? Because according to Mr. New Zealand author, we're just a bunch of atoms and molecules. I like trying to find some of those guys and do something totally stupid to get them to react. What's the matter with that man? He's bound in a prison of his own making. He does not know what goes on and trying to research who God is. It's very simple if you're going to look for God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Simple. So a little boy about 3 or 4 years old has an awareness of God, but you have to find a PhD to be unaware of God. Are you all right? Say amen. But you find this in Scripture, that the kindness of God to those that are bound. And we shared this morning about missions to the children of prisoners. And sometimes they are bound not because they did something wrong, but because they pay a sentence for something they never did. And they are bound with inferiority, with lack of security, with no self-worth. And they are bound in a prison that somebody else made. Hallelujah. There's a great Christian author who went to prison and come out of prison and became a minister of the gospel. Great, great minister. Great minister, writes books. And there was another minister who dedicated a church. And he said to this friend, I wrote a blurb for this friend's book. He's a minister. So he wrote a book. He asked me to write a little blurb for his book. And so I did. And so he invited this friend to come to dedicate his church. So he went over and there was a pulpit there. And he said, my dad cut the tree in our farm and made me a pulpit. I'm so grateful. A father made a pulpit for his son. The author I told you about that was in prison has got a story that he went to prison. He did not know his dad, but God is father to the fatherless. Came out of prison, given his heart to the Lord, now become a minister and writes. And then he discovered his dad. He found his dad some years later, and he was talking to his dad and realized that his dad was in the same prison that he was. And then they got talking about their times in the same prison. And he, as they talk, they come to the realization that his son was in the prison cell that his father built when he was in prison. And the point that my friend made, the one that I wrote the blurb for, he said, one father built a cell for his son, the other father built a pulpit for his son. And then he challenged people, what are you doing? Are you building a cell or a pulpit? Hello? So I challenge you again, are you building a cell or a pulpit? We either build cells that bind our young people, or we build pulpits that release the gifting of our young people. But some people are bound by their own desires, their own making. Some people, like the children of prisoners, are bound because of the story of their forebears. But regardless of what it is that you're in, one thing is for sure. The word of God that is settled in heaven forever declares that when you come to the Lord, God will bring out those that are prisoners into prosperity. The two Ronnies were sharing about the Prison Fellowship. Prison Fellowship International was created by a man who was one of the top men in the whole of the history of the United States. There was Henry Kissinger, there was Charles Colson, and somebody else, and they were the three advisors to President Nixon. When Nixon had his dilemma, Charles Colson paid the price. Nixon did not go to jail, but Charles Colson did. One of the most brilliant minds in the planet at the time. He's gone home now to be with the Lord. But while he was in prison, he discovered Jesus and started Prison Fellowship International. When he came out of prison, there are prison fellowships in just about every known country in the West as well as in the East. What happened? Out of prison into prosperity. That's just the kindness of God. That's just the nature of God. The God that you and I serve, that God seemed to excel in creating things, in doing things that we can't even fathom. Look at Daniel. Daniel was not a citizen of Babylon. Daniel was a prisoner of war. They changed his language, they changed his culture, they changed his clothing, they changed his diet, but they could not change his God. And in that place where he was bound, became the blessed man that blessed the nation of Babylon. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter who's Nebuchadnezzar. It doesn't matter who's Pharaoh. It doesn't matter who's president. It doesn't matter who's prime minister. So long as the leader, the political leader of a nation, has a Moses, has a Joseph, has a Daniel, has a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they can be there to surround him so that his decision making can be great. But Daniel was a prisoner that made a country prosperous, because that is just the way God is. Hallelujah. I met people who were so anti-God that when they discovered God, what happened? They came out of prison into the prosperity that God has provided for them. Malcolm Muggeridge, some of you who are old enough to know, was a journalist. He was British, anti-God, pro-communist. until his conversion. And when he got saved, he was an outstanding, clear-thinking man that spread the gospel of Christ through his writings and the things that he did. Hallelujah. And from the prison of his own making as a journalist to the prosperity that God had to give to him, he became a blessing to so many that were anti-God and challenged them to think again and give God a chance. Hallelujah. I'll read you some three things that he said. It'll help you a lot. He said that depravity of man is at once the most empirical, verifiable reality. He was great with the English language. But at the same time, the most intellectually resisted fact. The intellectuals resist that. We think we can do it on our own. He said this about God when somebody said God is dead. He said if God is dead, somebody is going to have to take his place. It will be megalomania or erotomania, the drive for power or the drive for pleasure. Power or pleasure. The clenched fist or the phallus, Hitler or Hugh Hefner. It's either power or pleasure. We drive for that. You know what the Bible says? I'll say this. That's what David said. Absolute power belongs to the Lord. He said this. In his right hand are pleasures for evermore. If you're going to find power, if you're going to find pleasure, it has to do with God. If God is dead, somebody has to take his place, and they're looking for two things, pleasure or power. You can only find it in God. So this is what he said before he passed away. So the final conclusion will surely be that whereas other civilizations have been brought down by attacks of barbarians from without, ours had the unique distinction of training its own destroyers at its own educational institutions and then providing them with the facilities for propagating their destructive ideology far and wide, all at the public expense. Thus did Western man decide to abolish himself, creating his own boredom out of his own affluence, his own vulnerability out of his own strength, his own impotence out of his own erotomania, himself blowing the trumpet that brought the walls of his own city tumbling down, and having convinced himself that he was too numerous, labored with pill and scalpel and syringes to make himself fewer. Hello? The Holocaust was not military. It was behind the desks of the academias. That's where it was born. Then this is what Margaret said. Until at last, having educated himself into imbecility and polluted and drugged himself into stupefaction, he keeled over a weary, battered old brontosaurus and became extinct. That's what we are without God. And we can be imprisoned with steel bars or bars of our own making. Whatever it is, if you give God a chance. I had lunch with a man who's a brilliant minister, pastor, and Christian leader. He was a psychologist. He trained as a child psychologist. And I was surprised at what he said. He said, if I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit the time I did, and I had been given a chance to think about it, I never would. Because I know my own training, and my training as a psychologist would not allow me to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I'm now, this is a man who's speaking tongues. He got the baptism, and he's been pastoring for years. And he admitted across the table, he said, given a chance, if I never, he said, I just stumbled into the baptism of the Holy Spirit by accident a few days after I was saved. If I was given the opportunity to think about it, I never would. Why? His mind. Are you all right? You don't have to be bound. But if you are, God can bring you out of bondage into prosperity, into peace, into the kindness of God. Peace is that surpasses understanding. And the goodness of God, the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow. Are you all right? If God is talking to you, I want you to stand where you're sitting. Because I want to pray for us. Give God an opportunity to break the bondages of your own prison, whatever it is. Some prisons are cultural. Some prisons are psychological. Some is presumption. But whatever it is, allow God the opportunity to break your doors, bring you out of prison into prosperity. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. The prayer is going to finish with a hymn. After we pray, I want us to sing that hymn. But whatever it is you're standing up for, let me pray and open your heart to the Lord. Let God break it down. Let God translate you out and bring you into. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is settled in heaven forever. Thank you for everyone that is standing on their feet to indicate their need, Lord God, to come out of bondage regardless of what it is, and to come into the prosperity, the enlargement of God. Lord, I pray that you will touch their lives today. They have stood up, Lord God, having heard your word, because they realize they are in an area of bondage, of being in prison. I break those prison doors right now. In the name and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I dismantle those prison door locks. Father, in the name of Jesus, and I release them, Lord God, out of their bondages. Father, I pray that you will bring them out of that bondage into prosperity, out of darkness into your marvelous light. That, Lord, that beginning today, that they will walk with a leap in their steps, a leap in their spirits. Understanding will dawn. The light will come into their hearts. Their hearts will be enlightened, and they will walk in the light of that freedom. Father, I pray for every man, every woman, every young person that is standing. Let it be, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Lift your hands to the Lord. Let it be. Father, let it be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing that hymn.